That's a question we all have to ask ourselves. Is God's word a light to us, a guide to us? Do we follow him? Do we listen? Do we open it, expecting him to speak and speak truth to us? As we open up his words, I invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And I know you see three different places with three different numbers there. One section says chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. In your bulletin, it says 20 through 23. We're starting at verse 18. Otherwise, you'd be starting in the middle of a sentence. We already went over verse 18 last week, but we're going to start at verse 18, and we're not really going to focus on that verse. But I didn't want to start you mid-sentence because that would be a little strange. So let's look at God's word together. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. The word of God for the people of God. Can you remember a time when you felt powerless? Maybe it was when you were a young child, or maybe it was when you were involved in an unhealthy relationship. The point is, for a lot of us, feeling powerless brings up some very bad memories. And we would prefer to really ignore that altogether. And I think this is one of the reasons why we often, in our inner person, rebel against living under the power of God. Because we want to feel powerful. We want to feel in charge. And so instead of submitting to God's rule, we often, like a horse that hasn't been broken in, we buck quite a bit when we feel powerless. And we try and adjust and do things outside of the rule of God. You see, we just have something against being ruled. But what if I told you this morning that Christ is a king not only worth submitting to, but he's going to rule whether you like it or not? Because it's his name that everyone will bow and every tongue will confess that he is God. You know, this morning we're finishing up our sermon series. We've been in Ephesians chapter 1 for now 6 weeks, counting this morning. All to answer this question of who am I? And we've got some great insights to this question that people have been wrestling with through the ages. And so far in our series, we've learned what it means to be chosen miraculously. We've learned what it means to be accepted completely, to be forgiven freely, planned providentially, and rich spiritually. And now we're going to take a look at what it means to be ruled powerfully. Because this power that Paul speaks of, this power of Christ, if you want to live the Christian life, it's a necessity. I recall as a teenager, riding in my mom's van. It was kind of an older vehicle, but it was one of those paid-for ones, and we were riding in it, and it broke down while we were going up a hill. Now, I can't think of a worse time for a vehicle to break down, and you can imagine what immediately it started doing. We lost all power, and it started going backwards. My mom quickly hit the brake. I hopped out of the car, and, you know, I thought I was very strong at that point. I was on the football team and you know, a little eighth grader running out there and ready to push that van by myself up the hill. What do you think I found out rather quickly? that I wasn't near strong enough, that no matter how hard I pushed, it didn't matter, that van was not going to budge. Fortunately, God knew what kind of pickle we were in, and there were some godly men who pulled their cars off to the side of the road, hopped out, and I joined in, but they did most of the pushing. And we got that van up a little bit more up the hill, off into a parking lot, and got it parked, and then had it towed to get repaired later on. And that's really the only time it ever broke down on us in all the years. But I'll never forget it because we felt powerless. I want to put forward to you that that is sadly the way that a lot of people live the Christian life. They think they're strong enough to obey. They think they're strong enough to follow. They think they're strong enough to do everything that God reveals without Christ and without the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think for a lot of people, their Christian experience is like mine was, standing outside of that van trying to push with all my might and not seeing any fruit from all that labor. Not seeing any change in my heart, not seeing any change in my life. What Paul shows us here is that there's another kind of life we can live of faith. And it's one filled with power. It is one filled with such power that maybe I could have pushed that van up the hill by myself through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to highlight three things for you from this passage. There are a lot more that we could get at, but we're going to focus on three. And they all come from the root of being ruled powerfully. And I want to make it send that caveat, being ruled powerfully. God only promises to provide his power when you're walking under his authority. If you walk outside of his authority, he doesn't promise to fill your cup, to give you strength, to disobey him. Nowhere is that found in God's word. So if you want to experience the power of God, then it has to be under the authority of God. Okay, so that's a little caveat before we get started. So because I am ruled powerfully, the same power that raised and exalted Christ is in me. Now that's rather remarkable. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that exalted Christ to sit at the right hand of God the Father is in me, it's in you. What a profound, profound thing that is. This great power. You want to know how you can be a Christian? Because that power is alive within you through the Holy Spirit. And everything you need to be a disciple, to be a follower of Christ, is within you. I think that's why Jesus said in the Gospel of John, 14th chapter, "Very truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will send you whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Notice what Jesus says, "You will do even greater works than I did." Now, what did Jesus do? Well, let's see, he raised the dead, right? Fed thousands, cast out demons, healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, and he says, "You're going to do even greater things." How? Because the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the same power that exalted Christ to sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, is within you. You see, the grace afforded to each and every believer in Christ is more powerful than we ever realize. You see, by grace, the Holy Spirit does a lot of things. The first thing the Holy Spirit does to someone who doesn't know Christ is he awakens us to a life of faith. You would not be a believer today, and if you're hearing, you're not a believer, okay? The Holy Spirit is already working and beginning to awaken the reality of faith and of God to you. Apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, we would all continue to walk in blindness. He awakens us to a life of faith. And then convicts us in our hearts and calls us to a decision of conversion. See, it's not just about, Christianity is not about believing a lot of great things. While it's important to believe the Bible and believe what God reveals there, Christianity is so much more than that. Christianity is a daily choice to surrender your life to Christ, to convert from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And we have to make that choice. And so the Holy Spirit calls us to that decision and helps us to follow through. You know, years ago, Casting Crowns wrote this song, and it's called The Altar and the Door. And in it, the song, it goes on and it unfolds and it says, something happens between the altar and the door of the church that causes Christians to revert right back to what they just made a decision about. They revert right back to what they were repenting from. Why is that? Because they're missing the power of the Holy Spirit. And they think one decision of conversion is all you need. My friends, I want to tell you this morning, you've got to make that decision of conversion every single day of your life. You have to decide, am I going to follow Jesus today? Is he going to be the Lord of my life? Am I going to follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit, or am I going to go on my own? Am I going to carve out my own way? And so conversion is not this one moment that happened when you were 12 years old or whatever age you were. Conversion is a choice you make each and every day of who you're going to allow to operate in your heart. Is it going to be the Holy Spirit, or is it going to be the spirit of the world? That's what faith is all about. A daily choice to commit and follow Christ. And when we make that decision for conversion, then the Holy Spirit comes in and purifies our conscience and our mind. We're renewed each and every day, and this is something that's an ongoing process. I don't know about you, but my conscience, and I praise the Lord for this, is different today than it was a decade ago. I used to walk around feeling guilty all the time every time I messed up. Now I know when I mess up and I feel guilty, I need to run to my Father in heaven and rest in his arms and believe the mercy that he promises he will give. He also purifies my mind, changes what I think about, changes what I put in here, what my desires are. This is a part of the transformation. He transforms us into a new creation. My friends, one of the problems in the Christian life is we've got a lot of Christians who, because they don't have the power of Christ in their life and working and operating in their heart and operating in their soul, their spirit is set aside and pure, their soul is still a mess, and they're walking around living like the old creation instead of like the new creation. That's where the power of God comes in. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that exalted him to the right hand of the Father is in you doing all this work. And he gives us with a renewed will and a renewed affections. What do I mean? Our desire becomes to follow him. Our desire becomes to be one with him. Our desire becomes to know Christ more today than we knew him yesterday. And our will becomes to do the will of the Father. Isn't that what Jesus said as he walked on this earth? What is your will? My will is to do the will of the Father who sent me. For the person who has been born again, that should be our answer. My will is to do the will of the one who died on the cross for my sins. My will is to follow Christ every moment. And what I desire, what my affections are, what I'm drawn toward, are now spiritual rather than of the natural world. And again, the mistake we make is thinking this is a one-time deal, that you snap your finger and it's done. My friend, Satan doesn't stop bombarding you. He doesn't stop coming at you and me, and he's not going to stop until Christ returns. And he is finally defeated in totality. So we better understand that we're going to be pulled. That's why the Apostle Paul said, there's a war raging inside of me. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing. How could he say that? Because he knows that he's got to make a daily decision to follow Christ, because otherwise he will slip and fall on his face. You know, it kind of reminds me of, in this technological age, everybody's getting a new cell phone every couple of years. And if you get a new cell phone, I know somebody this morning told me they got one. If you get a new cell phone, what happens to your old cord? It doesn't work anymore. I think they do this on purpose, so we have to spend more money, right? And so the old cords don't work. But if you ever try to plug in that new phone to the old cord and you think you're getting a charge, you're in for a rude awakening when you go and you look and that power level hasn't spiked up a bit. You want to know why there's so much frustration in the Christian life? Because people are still plugged into that old cord, their old way of doing things. They're still putting their own will ahead of the will of Christ in their life. And then they wonder, why is this so hard? Why am I having to work so hard? Why isn't this coming naturally anymore? And it's all because they're not staying plugged in and allowing Christ to operate through the Spirit in your life. But because I am ruled powerfully, we've got to remember that the same power that raised and exalted Christ is in you and me. Second thought we see is that because I am ruled powerfully, the same Christ who reigns over all things is on my side. What a powerful thought that is. The same one who is reigning in heaven is on your side. He is on my side. Here Paul speaks of both the assertion and the dominion of Christ, how his power is over all. Listen to what he says there in verse number 20. He exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realms, far above all rule, all authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. It's something we affirm every time we say the Apostles' Creed, that Christ sits at the hand of the Father. Notice what we're told in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 25. Therefore, he is able also to save forever, completely, perfectly, for eternity, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to intercede and intervene on their behalf. My friends, you have a Savior in heaven who is daily intervening on your behalf, who is daily going to bat for you, and you have no greater champion than Jesus Christ. It's why we're told in Acts chapter 4, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Isn't that what Cindy said during the children's message just a few moments ago? Now, this should matter to us. And I hope it matters to you. If you've got a pen and you want to write something down that you're struggling with in your life this morning. Whatever it is, write it down. Take a second. Whatever concerns you, whatever worries you, and ask yourself this question: is Jesus greater than whatever you wrote on that paper? Is Jesus greater than whatever it is you wrote on that paper? And is Jesus on your side? Is he going to see you through it? Is he going to walk you through it? That sickness that you're worried about, that bad diagnosis that you're fearful of, Jesus is greater than it. That financial strain that you're under, I don't know about you, but last time I checked, my father's storehouses were infinite. And I'm going to believe that. Just yesterday, I went and checked my mailbox, and I opened it up, and I got a bill from a past medical payment Missy had for $153. And you know what was in the next envelope? A bill where we had overpaid at a medical test, and so we got back about $150. God provides. Whatever you wrote down on that paper, Jesus is not only greater than it, but Jesus is on your side as you deal with it. But make no mistake, you got to invoke Jesus' name. A lot of people pray great prayers, but I want you to know, if they're not prayed in the name of Jesus, they don't have any power. At the name of Jesus, we're not told any other name but Christ. You want to pray about whatever is concerning you, bring Jesus into it by name. Ask Him to take charge of that situation. Ask Him to bring your healing, to bring your restoration, to pour out wisdom, all in the name and authority of Jesus Christ. And that leads us to our last thought. Because I am ruled powerfully, I'm called, I am an extension of the power of Christ in the world. You're an extension of the power of Christ. This is a huge responsibility. Make no mistake about it. We're called to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. And if we're not being them, it's usually for one of two reasons. Number one, we're not experiencing the power of Christ operating in our lives, and so we don't know then how to be His hands and feet. Or number two, we've become so focused on ourselves that we miss out on all our opportunities to be the hands and feet of Christ. And both are bad. Both are troubling and hurtful, because this is the calling that God gives us. You know, Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, we're told, called the 12 disciples to Him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and every sickness. My friends, Jesus is calling us today. He's calling us to go forward. He's calling us to be His hands, to be His feet, to be the very power of Christ to the lost, to share the good news, to share the gospel. You know, one of the reasons why we fail to see the power of Christ on display on a regular basis in our churches and in our lives is because oftentimes, not only do we not understand it, but even when we do understand it, we don't ask Him how we're supposed to use it. It's not something that we manipulate for our own will. God's not here to pat you on the back as you walk in through life not caring a bit for what He desires of you. No, God promises His power through Christ in the Holy Spirit. He promises that power as you seek and follow His will. If I go up to a complete stranger and I start trying to share the gospel with them, maybe they listen, maybe they don't. I don't know. It's a coin flip. Actually, it's not even a coin flip. 50-50 is being generous, right? If you've ever done that, you know. You never know what's going to happen. I know I'm being obedient when I do that, but here's the difference. God hasn't promised His power every time I do that. He's promised it to give me words to say and stuff like that, but when I have a prompting from the Holy Spirit to go and speak to a specific person at this moment, this is a moment, this is a time, you share the gospel with them, then He promises, and I'm going to change your heart, and here's a moment, and you're going to get to experience a conversion, maybe leading somebody to Christ for the first time in your life. All because you're following the Holy Spirit. If the disciples, they didn't go out, notice, until Jesus told them to. Jesus said, y'all go out, go forth. Then they went out and they went forth. Now, there are certain things we're called to do every day. We're called to go out. We're told to be the good news. We're told to be the salt and be the light. But we're talking about specific people and really going and speaking truth into their lives and helping them. It's all at the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And that begs the question, how do we hear those? And I wish we had time to get into it today. Well, we don't have time. To get into how do you hear the voice of God and how do you know. That sounds like another sermon series we'll be having before the end of the year. But the reality is this. You can experience as much of the power of Christ operating in your life as you want to. When's the last time you saw it? When's the last time you saw a miracle? I want you to know I saw a miracle this week. I went into the hospital on Sunday night. And I'll just tell you, Alan wasn't doing too good. Blood pressure wasn't doing too good. They had just started at Amanda's Medicine. And we prayed. And I felt this overwhelming conviction to pray. And I want you to know, since that moment, he's made a steady march toward healing. I went in on Thursday, and for the first time in what seems to me like forever, I walked in the door, and the nurse was standing there, and he says, "Hey, I want you to meet my preacher." Remembered exactly who I was. There have been times I've gone to visit him that he wasn't sure. And maybe it came to him before I left. The point is, miracles happen. We praised God last week, right, for the miracles that we've seen, for the dramatic healings that have taken place. People of all ages. But it's not just through physical healings that we see miracles. The biggest miracles that we ever see are through transformations of the heart, are through people who were once lost becoming found. The question is for you, do you want to live that kind of life? Do you want to live a life where at any given moment, as you follow the prompting of the Spirit, you can experience the power of God? Or do you want to be like that little teenage Kenny Butcher pushing that van up the hill by yourself? Which do you want to be? How do you want to live? The power of God is available if you would but reach out in the name of Jesus and cry out to God for it. Let's pray. Almighty God, we need that power. We don't want to live life through our own strength. We don't want to try and change our own hearts. Many of us have tried, and we will readily confess it doesn't go too well for us. Many of us have tried to live life according to your word and to try to produce the fruits of the Spirit, and many of us will confess that doesn't work either. Lord, we want to walk in the power of Christ. We want to experience the power of Christ first within us and then through us. And Lord, we pray that you would bless us with that. With the same faith that we came to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, may with that same faith we believe that your power is available to us. Not for our own will, but to carry out yours. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Michael comes forward to lead us in our hymn of invitation this morning, I want to invite you. If there's somewhere in your life that you need to see the power of God, come down to this altar and pray. You can talk to me. You don't have to talk to me. I want you to talk to God. If there is a part of your life that is missing the power of God, come talk to him about it. Invite him to bring it into you and to show you how to make use of the abundant grace that he is ready to give you.